Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, April 11th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you doing today, John?
Middling good.
Yeah. All right. Well, glad you're here. And Brian Chaffin, I hope you're doing well. I'm glad you're here, too.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Great to have you. And we have a couple topics. I want to make sure we hit both of them today. So we're just jumping right in. The first topic, we're getting reports of the next Apple Watch coming. And so we have reports that say it's coming very soon, like maybe by the time we hit Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, which will probably be in June. Other reports are saying this fall, and we're getting reports that say the next Apple Watch will be in the same case design that we currently have. There's other reports that say it could be up to 40% thinner. So we have all these reports, and there's no consensus. And I'm kind of thinking that we may not see a case redesign, or at least not a significant redesign this year. And I really doubt we're going to see a watch at WWDC. I think it's going to be later in the year. I'm curious, what do you guys think?
I'll tell you right now that it is not going to be thinner. The Apple Watch second generation just cannot be any thinner. The physics weigh against it. The reason is because the watch is new and people are getting accustomed to it. And one of the things that annoys them is that they have to charge it frequently. And the other thing that annoys them is that the display is generally off. And these are annoying factors. And so if Apple is going to solve that problem, they have to make the battery more efficient. They have to decrease the power required by the system. They have to make the SoC on there smaller and make the battery bigger. Or they have to improve the battery design so that it has more milliamp hours per cubic millimeter. All of those things weigh against making the watch thinner because it's an engineering problem. You make the watch thinner, you lose battery power, you lose its ability to become more independent of the phone, to keep the display on longer, to go longer between charges. It's a difficult engineering challenge, and I believe that thinner is going to have to wait. That's the least of Apple's problems, and I think they'll solve that problem by saying, look, here's the Apple Watch. This is the design. It's so cool. It's iconic.
I have three words for you. LOL.
Well, Brian, are you just meeting
Apple for the first time? Let me show you this thing I've got. It's called an iPhone, right? Here's an iPhone. Here's a device where everybody has been complaining about it not having enough battery power, how you have to charge it every day, and all they want is for Apple to give it more battery power, right? And to give it a longer life. And all they have to do is just not make it thinner. People have been saying this for what is this? What are we, 2016? 9 years now people have been saying this. And what happens to the Apple Watch, to the iPhone? It gets thinner. It gets thinner every year.
I argue the iPhone's a different case.
But why? Okay, let me introduce you to my other friend here, a MacBook.
Because if you make the iPhone battery a half a millimeter thinner so that the case can be a millimeter thinner, you still have 90% of the ability, and you can make that up with a lower power A9, or you can make it up with improvements in the operating system.
No, but which I guess is that's a good point. Neither one of those things apply to a watch.
Right, the watch doesn't have that liberty. The battery is not very big.
Okay, but the processor can become more efficient, and yes, the operating system can become more efficient.
Yes,
the way it communicates with the iPhone can become more efficient. All these things apply to the Apple Watch too.
Yes, but can those become more efficient to the point where you can put a thinner battery in there and still not break even, but rather make improvements? See, it's like,
when's the last time we saw a major improvement to the iPhone?
Three laws of thermodynamics: you can't win, you can't break even, you can't even get out of the game. And in Apple Watch, you can't even break even.
Approaching this from the standpoint that Apple cares about battery life. And Apple has shown us again and again and again that the only thing Apple cares about is form factor and design. Battery life is like a distant third or fourth. I mean, that's my main
sacrifice the needs of the users this early in the game before the battery technology has come along.
Just met for Apple sake for of the first time.
This is what Apple does. The Apple Watch is iconic. It is what it is. People, oh, 5 million people have gone out and bought one, and there's going to be more sensors. Hopefully, we're going to get to the point where it can do blood sugar. It's going to have more power to do more things along the line. You just can't reconcile that by making the battery thinner because the battery is so small. If you made the battery a millimeter thinner, you'd lose 20% of its power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I measured it.
So then Apple will make other things thinner, and at best we'll get the same battery life. There is no way the next Apple Watch is just not thinner. This would be, I mean, like, the Apple Watch is iconic, as opposed to the iPhone, as opposed to the iPad, as opposed to MacBook. I mean, these things are all iconic devices, and all Apple ever does is make them thinner.
Because they have the engineering latitude to do it.
Why wouldn't they have the same engineering latitude with the Apple Watch?
The battery is so darn small. It's 5 millimeters thick. If you reduce the thickness of that little 5 millimeter battery by 1 millimeter, you'd cut a fifth of its power. You'd have to make that up somehow.
I would hazard, John, that since about 6 months before the first Apple Watch shipped, that Apple's engineers and designers have been looking for ways to make the next one thinner.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. I wrote an article back in January called "Can the Next Apple Watch Be Any Thinner?" That's where this is all coming from, and that's where I laid out the science of it. And it's true that along the lines, Apple has to convince people to buy a watch that they weren't convinced of before. And the question in my mind is, how are you going to get people to buy the second generation Apple Watch? You're going to have to say, oh, this is so much better and so much cooler than the first generation. Now is the time. You've been waiting all this time. You've wanted an Apple Watch. But now, here, look at the feature list. And now we're going to close the deal with you. And the question is, is thinner going to do that?
Yes. Absolutely. Do you not remember how many people complained about how thick the Apple Watch was in the first place?
No, I only remember
that was the most disappointing thing about it. The most disappointing thing. So this is where I'm doing a little bit of projecting onto to Apple. The most disappointing thing about Apple Watch to me was its thickness relative to its footprint. And I was shocked that Apple would ship a device that had, especially something that goes on your wrist, that would be that thick relative to its overall footprint. I mean, like, if this thickness would have been fine if the watch was, another couple of millimeters wide, for instance. And there are so many areas on this device where Apple can conceivably save space and allow the roughly the same sort of same battery size, that I think that's where Apple's focus is going to have been. Like, we don't know what Apple can do with the display assembly. We don't know what Apple can do with the Taptic Engine device. We don't know what Apple can do with the way the sensors are layered in, or the device that Apple uses to charge the Apple Watch. These are all areas that Apple will have been targeting for space saving. And in that, its relative clunkiness was one of the critical aspects of the way people greeted this device. I think that Apple will very much want to achieve a thinner device.
You know, I think Apple may want to achieve a thinner device, but I also have a feeling it may be too early for Apple to make that happen. My guess is that the next Apple Watch, if it's thinner, it will not be significantly thinner. And that what Apple's going to focus on is adding in the features that they couldn't include the first time around. So we'll end up with the same battery life. we'll end up with a watch case that is not noticeably thinner compared to what we currently have, but it will do a lot more.
I'm with you, Jeff. And of course, thinner is relative too. If you can shave a half a millimeter off the thickness by making the battery larger but thinner.
Or you mentioned in the meeting, John, you mentioned the hump on the back. You mentioned that being thinner.
If you can say the Apple Watch is thinner and convince people that thinner is better, even if it's only a half a millimeter or a millimeter, then you can say on the list of features, hey, it has this and it has that and it has this and it has, and it's thinner. So you can get away with it from a marketing standpoint.
Where do we stand on steak dinner bets? I'll put the next steak dinner bet.
Steak dinner for the defeating the texting while you're driving in the car. I lost that bet.
Defeating texting.
Well. Remember, there was an article from France about Apple had a patent on how it was going to figure out how to keep you from texting while you're driving.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't come in 18 months.
Gotcha. Well, yay me! I get a steak dinner. So let's do double or nothing, saying that the Apple Watch will be somewhat thinner, a degree of thinness, and it'll have the same battery life. It will not have improved battery life.
I'm going to take a stand on it's going to be the same case, more features, more battery life, and it's going to be the same case. Apple Watch 3 will be where it gets thinner.
Well, so we're going to end up with a tie because it'll be thinner and have slightly more battery life, is be my guess. But I'm going to say slightly thinner and the same battery life.
Okay.
That's my bet. You want to take that bet with me?
I'm going to say the same case, the same thickness, better battery life, more features.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's
you're on.
Right. That's a proper bet, isn't it, Jeff?
I'm up for this. I think
you're
this
in
is great.
It too?
No, I'm monitoring it. I approve of your bet.
You want a piece of the action, sir?
I'm going to monitor this bet.
I'm not going to let Jeff join this because I can't afford steak dinner for both of you.
No, because you both be on the same side.
I'm going to remain the disinterested party so that that someone, when it comes time to decide who really won, is able to make that decision for you guys.
Well, hopefully our listeners are keeping track.
They will be. So it's going to be me and the listeners deciding which one of you is actually right when the bet comes down.
Okay. Well, for the record, you were siding with John.
Yeah, but I didn't take the bet, so I get to remain an impartial party.
Yeah, fair. Sort of. Yeah, fine.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. All right. So, listeners, keep track of this. And when the next Apple Watch comes out, help me to decide if Brian is right or if John is right. And it's a double or nothing bet. Okay. So, I said there's another topic that I wanted to hit. And that topic is sex robots.
Yay! Finally!
Actually, androids, right? Androids are robots in human form.
John, you're taking the sexy out of sex robots for me. Anyhow, the reason I wanted to hit this topic is because, John, you wrote a piece on Friday, I believe it was, where you talked about how someone had made their own Scarlett Johansson-looking sex Android,
right. Johansson.
Oh, via Reuters.
Johansson. Hold on, we got to get.
Thought it was Johansson.
Yeah,
I'm from Missouri, and we've already made it clear that it's a wonder I can speak at all.
Right, well, it's an accident that she looks like Scarlett. This graphics designer in Hong Kong spent $50,000 in 18 months using robot technology and a 3D printer to construct an android in female form that looks amazingly like Scarlett Johansson, calls it the Mark One. And it's for private use, so he's not selling it commercially, although the Reuters article mentions that he wouldn't mind if somebody got interested and wanted to sell his device. But then there would be precedent law, First Amendment, and Supreme Court decisions saying that you cannot copy an actor or an actress's likeness for commercial use.
Hardly looks like her.
So
hardly looks like her, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that would be a decision by the courts, I guess, to decide whether he'd violated Scarlett Johansson's copyright of her face. But, you know, I raised the point in the article, what if you were able to make it look like no known human being? Or what if you found somebody who was willing to sell the rights to their face and you used that? That brings up interesting legal issues. Yeah.
You know, we already have lifelike sex dolls, like, and those are very easy to come by.
If this doll is sort of like a Disneyland animatronic. It has a vocabulary. It's able to wink. It's able to do sublimity things. It's not fully mobile, as I understand it.
We have to give Brian a moment.
All right, Brian. Time is precious here. We'll wait.
I'm sorry. Okay, all right.
Jeff, are you getting all this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is so awesome. I'm not editing that laugh out.
Okay,
that's like please, the best all right, thing Brian, all week.
Come to your senses.
Please continue with your conversation.
So I wrote about the fact of, and I asked some questions about this. You know, there are a few laws against doing this. Should there be? What if somebody wanted to sell the rights to their face? What if somebody bought one of these androids that was mobile, more sophisticated, say version 2? One of the readers pointed to an article. In the article, pointed to a movie. There have been several movies about this. Earliest one was maybe Cherry 2000. A more recent one was Ex Machina. Where social issues, the relationship between the human being and the android come up. What if somebody bought one of these androids in the future that was very much lifelike, mobile, had a sense of consciousness, sensitivity, and you decided you were done with it and you destroyed it, somehow kept it from functioning by some violent means and threw it in a dumpster? Would there be any laws, as there are against animal abuse laws? Would any major tech company even consider building one of these, or would it be sort of like a sideline by some small company where the big companies would consider it too maybe unsavory or not their target market to build this? Or is it something that's inevitable, as smartphones were inevitable? So I explore some of those issues in the article.
So Brian, now that you've regained your composure,
mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on what John's saying?
Well, I mean, you know, science fiction is replete with explorations of this idea, and you know, who's got rights? There's a little movie folks might remember called Blade Runner, which was based on a book by Philip K. Dick called "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?" And I mean, just, you know, as one of the many, many examples of this. And I think that the device that was built by this guy is so far from anything that anyone would ever want to get rights to. I mean, it's not a thinking machine. I mean, like, you know, we're going to come into a moral quandary. We will come to moral quandaries on this when and if we bridge the ability for devices or for computers to be able to think. And when they can think, at what point do they have a soul? And that's where we're going to end up doing a lot of soul searching. That's where we're going to end up deciding the future of humanity. For robots like the device that does not look at all like Scarlett Johansson,
technology moves exponentially, and the courts and the Congress move glacially. So my bet is that this will get out of hand really fast, and the laws will not keep up, and then we'll be in an interesting situation.
I think that very well could be. Sex is a big seller, and we have a long, long history, centuries of sex being a driving factor in economies and new product designs. I don't expect that to change now. And considering the incredibly wide range of sex-related technology products we currently have, that's not going to let up. And nope. Brian, you were about to talk. Go ahead.
No, I just said, nope, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. And I'm just curious to see how quickly this advances and how long it takes before we end up with a court case like John is talking about, where we have someone saying, no, this was akin to a toaster that I could have sex with without burning myself. And when I destroyed it, all I was destroying was an appliance. And we're out of time. So we're just going to have to wrap up. Brian, I'm really, really glad that you were able to get back with us.
You bet.
And so thank you for being here. And John, thank you for being here too.
Over and out.
That's right, John, our own little sex robot. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Don't forget about John and Brian's bet. We will be deciding as a team which one of them wins when the new Apple Watch comes out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.